Hey, everybody, and welcome to a redeeming Wild Ride with Steve-O. This week, we have controversial rapper Lil Xan, who's very open and candid about his drug addiction, about, frankly, a lot of mistakes that he's made. And he got me really rooting for him, and that's why I really see this as redemption for the kid. Very juicy podcast as well. And speaking of juicy, have I told you about Liquid Death, this canned water company, which is basically saving the world because they're trying to bring death to plastic? Plastic, as I'm sure you know, is killing the world. Meanwhile, the infinitely recyclable aluminum cans Liquid Death uses are saving the world. And gosh, is it exciting. They've got these new flavored waters now: mango chainsaw, severed lime, and bury it alive. The stuff's so delicious, I can't even keep it in the house. You know, it's true. And the company's doing so well, it's now in Target, Albertsons, 7-Eleven, Whole Foods. I mean, it's just popping up everywhere, and I love it because everybody is just getting on the team to save the world. Now, you can get this without even leaving your house and not pay a dime for shipping, because if you go to liquiddeath.com/Steve-O, it's free shipping for all of your orders of water and merch. Very generous of Liquid Death, a great company that's saving the world. So one more time, go to liquiddeath.com/Steve-O for this insanely generous deal. And now let's get into it.
So is that okay to have a Red Bull?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah, probably, you know. This is like a good...
Yeah, I mean, it's wherever you feel comfortable.
Oh, yeah. I've done podcasts before, like, all in. Yeah, thank you, man, for having me on.
Dude, thank you, man. It was killer that you reached out. But I'm still not sure if you were just responding to us having reached out to you.
Did you guys reach out first? Well, I saw the clip. I watched the clip.
With the Island Boys.
Yeah.
Right, okay, yeah. Cool.
And then I was like, well, I'll shoot my shot, because, like, I did Tim Dillon's podcast first.
Okay.
And then I did a couple of little jumpers, and I'm doing Impulsive in, like, a week with, like, Logan Paul.
Cool.
So, yeah, I'm trying to just, you know.
Cool.
And this is cool as fuck, too, because I grew up watching Jackass, you know? Like.
All right.
I feel like we have a lot of similarities, too, because I'm just coming out of, like, my, you know, real bad drug phase. Like, I was really fucking bad, too. You know?
All right. Let's keep you on the mic. And
we rolling in everything?
Yes, sir.
All right. Here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, Lil Xan.
What's going on, guys?
Yeah.
How y'all doing, man? Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
San Diego.
Like San Diego, right? You know, funny story about that. My parents actually wanted to name me Sam Diego.
Oh, that's funny.
And I was like, please don't do that to me.
Yeah, wow.
But yeah, thank you guys again for having me, man.
For sure, man. It was pretty rad. You reached out on Instagram, because of course I follow you.
Yeah.
And I came right into my DM box, and I was like, no way, man. Because we had just reached out to you to get you on the podcast.
I didn't even see that. That's crazy.
It's happened. We reached out to each other about making this happen.
It was meant to be.
Yeah, it was meant to be because I didn't even see the first one, but I saw the clip on thing, and I was like, well, I'll shoot my shot. You know, I love the podcast. I watch it. Like,
yeah. You saw the Island Boys podcast.
Yeah, yeah. I remember one of the Island Boys said that that he speaks with you, that the relationship with him. Was that true?
Yeah, that is true, but I also heard, I don't know if this is true because I don't watch some Island Boy podcasts, and like when they're just not my favorite. But we used to have a friendship, but they just kept calling me every day, like three times a day, and I think they got butthurt because I just refused to keep answering, you know, because they would ask dumb questions. Not talking shit, I'm just saying they would ask.
Like, yeah, they were excited, man. Yeah, like, I've always been that way.
I'm excited.
Yeah, they're cool people, but they would just be like, oh, how much money you make? You got more money? I just don't want to talk about this. Like,
you know
right
what?
Now. And I think that's where they got butt hurt and started talking a little shit on the internet about me because I stopped responding to them.
Right.
But I have nothing against the Island Boys.
He was talking to you like when you were in the hospital, right? Was that accurate?
I haven't seen anything actually. I've been trying to stay off the the interweb.
Okay.
I thought that those guys were legitimately talented when they just started freestyling on our podcast. Did you see that?
No, I did not see that one.
Dude, they just were good. Fucking bust. I mean, yeah. Now, I'm sure it was kind of prepared to some extent.
I don't know. It wasn't. Every freestyle is a little pre-written. Yeah, sometimes.
But you can tell when it's like, wow, this is just a totally just pre-written straight, verse. Like,
freestyle,
and it wasn't like that.
Yeah,
it was a little sloppy. It was like a little, like it was real. You know,
yeah,
it was good.
I felt that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, I have nothing against them. I like them. There's a lot of similarities between me and them. You know, we look crazy. It's just different timing.
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay, so I got to just come right out of the gate and say I've been confused by a couple things because like we spoke on the phone the other day.
Yes.
Like right after you reached out and I told you that I had seen you on TMZ.
Yeah.
And that the story was you just got out of rehab and that you're sober.
Mm-hmm.
And
40 days today.
And 40 days.
Congrats.
That's great. The story was also that the rehab you went to somehow encourages smoking marijuana.
Yeah, well, about that, well, I went to a detox center first called Vita Nova. Shout out to them. They don't allow weed at that. They just do the normal scheduled things they do. That's in Newport Beach. I was they gave me a scholarship actually, so I don't have to pay. So I'm very grateful for the people at Vita Nova. And I detoxed for 30 days there, got clean, so I wasn't withdrawing when I went to the other place, the place you're referring to, the Heavenly right. Center, which is Steve LaBelle, Scott Storch, the producer.
Gotcha.
And a couple other people that run it. And the Heavenly Center, a.k.a., you know, abbreviated THC, you know, they don't force you to smoke weed. You know, they don't, like say you have to smoke weed to, like, get better. They just say if it helps, it helps. And I'm not a big weed smoker myself.
but that's what confuses me. But more because we went back and looked at that actual TMZ clip where I guess you were on Hollywood Boulevard or something.
I was at Boa Steakhouse, yeah.
And you said in that clip to TMZ, you were like, I'm a big pot guy.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to come clean. I smoke a blunt like maybe every, like I'll smoke two blunts a week. But okay. I was trying to
Whatever, dude. I'm not mad at you. Yeah. I'm just like,
I was kind of trying to shout out the Heavenly Center more because they reposted it. So okay. I wanted them to think that, yeah, like it helped me out a lot.
But then just yesterday, you posted this thing with I ate edibles and I got so zooted and loaded.
Oh no. That's scripted. That was scripted.
Okay.
I just did a collaboration with my good friends that make edibles and weed called Gassy. And
that was more of like a
and we did a scripted thing. I don't eat edibles. I'll end up at the hospital on edibles, sure. You know what I mean? And we just did a collaboration for Keef World Joints and Delta 8 gummies, so they paid me to make that whole skit where I'm going in and out.
Yeah, I mean, it looked perfectly entertaining. I'm sure. Yeah, it performed
but I
well.
Didn't eat. I didn't eat any of that, but I did smoke a couple of the joints, but it's not like my main thing. Like,
yeah, I mean, hey, what, dude.
Can I ask what you went to?
Yeah, what was your main thing when you said you were like detoxing? Like, what were you detoxing?
When I went to Vita Nova, I was coming off of probably taking. 20 nothing. There was no fentanyl in my system, by the way.
Is that a rumor that's going around? They had fentanyl.
No. I'm just saying that there wasn't because usually people get fake shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Everything's fake.
Does
on the
anybody
street.
Take fentanyl on purpose?
Yes.
Yeah.
It seems like it's all these like fake pills where they cut with fentanyl.
They're the blue. The little blue. Perk 30s are like the most commonly faked ones.
Well, I had a guy yesterday that was he was in rehab. He's like, I just went in there and he's like, everything's cut with it anyway, so I might as well just do fentanyl. And he's like, if that makes sense, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense at all.
The problem with these fake pills is like at first people didn't like them because they wanted what they wanted, you know what I mean? But now they like Xanax, so when they were getting fake Xanax, they didn't like it. But now that the Xanax has fentanyl in it, they're they like the fentanyl and they're getting addicted to a whole nother substance, opiates.
How common is it to have fentanyl in something that people are
doing?
It
is probably the things being sold in LA right now, I would say 95% of everything is every drug is cut with fentanyl.
So it's like the fake pill where they press it.
Yeah,
but it's cocaine. It's everything. It's heroin.
That's what killed my friend Mac Miller. It was fentanyl laced cocaine.
Can you help us understand why on fucking cocaine and fentanyl? It's
what they use to cut it. You know what I mean? Like how they
cut baby laxative or powder. Yeah, now they're doing fentanyl to make it stronger.
And it makes their product a little stronger. But what the problem is like, you know, with the labs, wherever they fucking make it, someone adds 2 pounds more of the wrong batch, and then you got a deadly batch that's gonna hit the streets. You know what I mean? Like they miscalculate because they're in jungles. They're not in the laboratories. Right.
It's like whoops, fucking
whoops! I put a teaspoon in now.
Yeah, like, did I already put a cup in, or did I not put a cup in?
You know what I mean?
I wonder if they're trying to make people addicted to fentanyl.
They are.
You know, like get them off the coke and slowly introduce fentanyl, and then all you're selling
because
is fentanyl.
Fun fact: fentanyl back like 20 years ago was like a very niche drug. It was only used as like anesthesia and pain medicine,
for, like open heart surgery.
Yeah,
to keep people out for longer.
Wasn't it like a on a patch, and they would put the skin?
It was a
patch. Then people would like chew the patch instead of having it on
their skin. Yeah, that's actually how it started. But like, if you would have went into a hospital 20 years ago, or no, not a hospital, a rehab, and said, they would have been like, what are you addicted to? And said fentanyl, they would have been like, what is that? Where did you get that? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But so you didn't finish what you were saying. What did you go in for? Your 20 Vita milligrams Nova, of?
I was taking about 20 Vicodins, or what they call them, hydrocodones now. And about 10 Xanax a day. But everything was real because I was paying out of pocket for like old people on hospices scripts, and you know, because I don't like fentanyl. I've never been addicted to fentanyl myself.
What's old people on hospices
like
scripts?
You know, like
when you're getting prescribed legit stuff at a legit business versus like scoring on the street
because they have like 1 or 2 years left to live, and they want to make extra money, so they sell it and stuff.
What's the detox like from Xanax? Is it like vertigo? I heard it's kind of like your vision flips.
It's like,
let's face it, if you got a detox, that might mean that your lifestyle is less than healthy. But let me tell you what is totally healthy, because I am in love with it. Athletic Greens. This is a natural supplement that is absolutely delicious and fills in all of the gaps in my diet, which sadly I have some of. Now, every serving is convenient, comprehensive, and literally gives me all of the nutrition I need for a whole day. It's got 75 different vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. It's like the craziest, healthiest thing, and I swear by it. I use it every day. It improves my gut health. It improves my cognitive health, really helps my brain. It gives me greens that honestly I'm not eating, so it's saving my butt. And this company's got a great deal for you. If you go to athleticgreens.com/stevo, they're gonna send you 5 of these travel packs. Comprehensive, convenient daily nutrition times 5, plus a year's supply of vitamin D, which boosts your overall immunity. And you get that with your first order if you go to athleticgreens.com/stevo. I swear by it, and you're going to be a much healthier person if you swear by it too. So get on over to athleticgreens.com/stevo. And now let's talk about detoxing.
Okay, like I've detoxed at my worst was probably November of 2020. I actually was smoking perk 30s. Real perk 30s, still not fentanyl, and I was taking 20 fake Xans a day that I later found out were laced with heroin in it. And I remember looking in the mirror one day and just being like, if I keep doing this, I'm going to die. Like I could already start seeing like my cheekbones going and stuff. And I'm sorry, what was the...
The question, because like when you're detoxing off opiates, you're kind of like flu-like symptoms, you're sick, you're nauseous.
Yeah, it's like...
Xanax is like...
Okay, oh yeah, I would much rather withdraw off opiates than Xanax because the two drugs that you can actually die from withdrawals from are alcohol and Xanax because you can have seizures.
Jesus. Oh, and you started having seizures, right? You were talking about that.
No, last time I had a seizure was November of 2020. I haven't had any since. Okay,
and was that seizure from quitting?
Going cold turkey off of Xanax. Right, yeah, right. Opiates, like, you can lock someone in a room for, like, 10 days. They're going to go through hell, but they're not going to die. Yeah, right. You know what I mean? Necessarily.
I have hunger or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Hunger. Like, you don't feed them.
The withdrawal's not going to kill you. It's like, you know, I just don't have a Dasani sandwich. Water.
Yeah, they're gonna die. But, yeah, so I went in for about 20 Norgos a day and 20 real Xans. No fentanyl in my system. And it was a smooth process. It went well. Yeah, it was a nice facility. I attended therapy and yoga and
what brought about the decision to go in there? Was it like there was an intervention on you?
It actually came from just me wanting to change. I felt like, you know, I'm 25 now. And I just couldn't do it anymore because I don't want to be... Because when you go into those rehab centers, there's people in their 50s that I've been there hundreds of times. And they always... And I've been to 7, you know, in the last, like, year. And they always tell me the same thing. You don't want to be this age in here. You want to nip it in the bud when you're younger.
So, I got sober when I was 33.
You know, something like... Yeah, like 29. That. So this time, I'm so strong-headed. I know I have it this time.
I would have loved to have gotten it sooner than 33. And strong-headed, be careful with that.
Yeah.
Because, like, what it is surrendered. You know, like, you have to
be selfish, completely selfish to yourself, and surrender to the program.
Right.
That's right. My dad is actually the one that told me surrender to the program because he was addicted to meth for 3 years, like 5 years ago. He's been sober ever since. So he relates a little bit. And he told me this time you just got to surrender completely to the program. And I did this time and it helped out tremendously. I feel really good.
Good.
I'm way past the withdrawals. My skin is finally getting healthier looking, you know, like...
Good, man.
Yeah.
And so you're going on tour again soon. You said May 25th?
The 28th, actually, yes.
28th.
And the last tour you did sold out in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Have you posted this tour?
This tour, it's almost sold out. Yeah. Almost sold out. We're doing... That tour was a bigger tour, like 1,200 people. We're doing more because this is the first tour since the pandemic. We're doing at like 300 capacity shows, and they're almost all sold out at this moment. Yeah, so I'm very blessed to still have the fandom because I took a lot of time off social media and away from the fans to focus on my sobriety.
And more importantly, time out of the studio.
Yes, I took a lot. I have a lot of music. Very good music too, saved up. Like I have my album finished. It's self-titled Diego, because this is going to be the last project I drop under the name Lil Xan. It's going to be Lil Xan Diego. Then after that, Spotify, YouTube channel, everything's just going to be Diego, and I'm just going to be an artist as Diego, because I want to leave Lil Xan in the past and just be Diego and be an advocate for addiction. And
Was that a decision made in sobriety? Like, I don't want to be linked to this.
Yeah, during the multiple rehabs since that was,
That's cool.
Yeah, thank you.
I think that's like, would you have kids coming up to you like, man, like, I take so much Xanax too, and you're like, ugh. Like,
yeah, I have that too, but I also have a lot of people saying that I've helped them out a lot in my Instagram DMs, and they come up to me and say the same thing, and that makes, like, my fucking gear. Because that's all I've ever wanted to do in this world was help people. Like, not trying to sound like a fucking saint, but even if it...
You wanted to help people and you wanted to fuck hoes.
Fuck hoes, yeah. Yeah, I definitely have done a lot of that, bro. Across, like, I've had sex with so many women that don't even speak English. And I know that sounds pretty bad, but I'm talking about like Europe and stuff.
Right. You're kind of a legend in the threesome department. Is that right?
Yes.
What's the secret to pulling a threesome?
Just a threesome or with your girl? Like having, there's two types, you know, it's like.
Walk us through it.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to need the whole menu here.
Just for a regular threesome. I remember I was in London and, my DJ was invited two girls over and he was going to sleep with both of them, but he was occupied doing something else. So I came in the room and
what kind of
he was going to the bathroom and I was
like occupied doing something else.
He wasn't in the room. He was like,
it's got to be pretty important to pass up two chicks.
Yeah. The guy probably just stepped out to make a phone call and Lil Xan swooped in and fucked them both.
I didn't know the chicks were in there, to be honest. So he's like down the street grabbing food and they're like, oh, where's John coming? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, but you guys can chill in here. And love language, we just started talking about it, touching each other, and then I had sex with the two girls that he was supposed to have sex with. That's a bad example, maybe a bad friend move. Definitely a bad friend. I'm sorry, John. But to a normal threesome, when you're on a tour bus and you know after a show they all come to your tour bus, you know, to get autographs or, you know, pictures, and I do that. I love doing that. I'll never deny a fan a picture or an autograph. Anybody that supports me, I support them. But you know, you get this, it's the groupies, and there's usually a part of a tour bus, and you probably know this too, that has like a back that slides back the door. It's like a little thing, and that's where all the business would go down, and like the three girls giving you head at once. For the most I ever did was in New Zealand. I had every girl in this it was five girls plus me. What is that? That's a
six-some.
And they were very beautiful New Zealand girls. And that was the most amazing moment of my life.
Six girls sucking your dick?
And having sex. Because they were all participating with each other, too. They were bi. So it was like a rotation, like coming in, switching over, and, you know.
It's like the sushi joint that has the carousel.
Bro, I was very proud. I think I went afterwards into the bathroom and looked in the mirror and was like, your life begins today.
How many times have you thought back and jerked off to that moment?
Probably a couple times.
For sure.
Probably a couple times, yeah. But I cherish that moment more as just, wow, because I got no hoes in high school. Like, you know, I did drop out in ninth grade, but like,
I didn't even go to high school.
I didn't have enough time. Maybe
in that week.
No. Yeah. I didn't get enough hoes in middle school. No.
You went to high school for 7 days.
7 days.
For real.
But I had a lot of friends that went to high school. And so I still stayed in touch with, I had like a couple ugly girlfriends. They were good people though. Good personalities, but I wasn't getting girls. You know, like, right. I wasn't popular or anything. I was a nerd. I played video games. I thought I was going to be, like, a professional video game player.
So, help us understand what happened with this famous G-Wagon.
The famous G-Wagon.
Okay. Did you ever get it back?
Well, actually, this is some recent stuff, too. I did not... This is for the record. I did not sell my G-Wagon for opiates. I never would have done that. I used to have a chauffeur, but he was a good friend of mine named Curly, and he would drive me places. If he needed places to, he was from my hometown, so sometimes he'd have to drive it back to go see his parents. I'd let him use it and stuff. And what happened was, it needed maintenance because those G wagons are always in the shop. You know what I mean? I would never get a G wagon again. So Stat said, "Yo, I'm gonna take it in." And,
this is Stat. And Stat, your former manager,
my former manager, Stat Quo. So he tricked Curly and said, "Yo, I'm gonna pay for the maintenance fixes," and he came and took the car and just never gave it back. And they spun the narrative as if I sold it for opiates. But what the G-Wagon is now is we came to an agreement just to sell it and split it 50-50.
Yeah,
but I didn't sell it for opiates.
But if I understood correctly, you had put like all the money into yourself.
I got fucked over. Yeah, I got fucked over. But I'm debating whether to take it to court or just let it slide. Because I did put $120,000 and it was $140,000 and I was making $800 payments. So I did get fucked over, but I think this is one where I'm just gonna let it live. You know what I mean?
That I can see the logic in that.
I mean, is it hard to keep people around you to trust, or do you have a crew of people, or
I have the best, like, those people out there, like, are the best people. I have probably like five friends. And my girlfriend. Yeah. That's it. Other than that, just acquaintances.
So
and business partners, I guess.
We had T-Pain on the podcast, and he was talking about how he had made like $40 million and then just blown through it and got to a point where he could not afford a Whopper at Burger King. And
the Whopper.
And then he came back, you know, like, I wonder, I don't know what the particulars are of your financial situation, but it sounded like all of that talk around the G-Wagon was like the remainder of the $30,000 needed to pay it off, that it just wasn't there.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it kind of gave me the impression that you had been like on fire, just making money like crazy, and then all of a sudden like just slowed down, and that went away like pretty quick.
I'm very open and talking about my financial situation right now. No, I'm not broke, you know what I mean? I support my dad, I support my mom. I bought my mom a house in Temecula, paid full in cash. I bought my dad a house in Corona, very close to each other. I did that.
There was a video where you did say that you were broke.
Really? Oh, no. That video was satire, because I was at the guy who created the app Wish. Uh-huh. Peter. He's a good friend of me. He's like a billionaire. Uh-huh. And that was just, I can't believe people didn't pick that was satire, because I'm walking through a mansion like while I'm doing it, and then showing like the Venador and the golf course.
Wait, I think the clip that we saw, it was like you were like, oh, whatever brand deal, take it, you know, let's do the brand deal.
It was
deal.
A day in the life of the No Jumper podcast.
Yeah, take the brand, whatever the brand deal.
Well, if
deal
it
is.
Was during the No Jumper time, I definitely wasn't broke then. And
and I mean, whatever. I mean, I think broke is a suggestive.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll say this. From 2018, when I signed my deal, I'm nowhere near that rich as of now. But I am very not, like, I'm far from broke.
So you're comfortable.
I'm comfortable.
And I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
No, you're good.
I just, you know, having had that conversation with T-Pain, and then kind of looking at what your story has seemed like over the last couple of years, I just feel like if you're now in the position where you're going back on tour and you're selling tickets well, it's like you kind of have a rebirth.
Yeah.
And so now, like, I want to think that you're going to have a different attitude about all the money that you earn and how you manage your opportunity.
And I totally agree with that. And the first step with that, for, you know, being more fiscally responsible with my money, was getting clean, to have a clear mind. Clarity is going to make me lots of money, because this tour I'm netting I'm going to bring back $100,000. I, you know, have a decent amount in my bank account right now, enough to still support my parents with the groceries and stuff, enough to have a nice, you know, little condo in L.A. I knew I needed to get sober before I could start adulting, because I feel like me becoming an adult was stunted, because I had, when I first got famous at 21, I was still a kid. And I was already addicted coming into this stuff, you know? So at that point when I blew up, I had assistants around me doing everything for me.
Right.
Like, so it was hard, like, you know, to... So now, since 24, I've been... And now, like, 25, I'm learning how to do everything on my own, because it was stunning, because I had someone to do that for me.
Right.
But now that I'm sober, Thank God, and I have a clear sense of mind. Everything has been going fucking wonderful. I'm on antidepressants, Effexor. They work wonderful for me. And yeah, everything is just going so great. My girlfriend is wonderful. My friends are wonderful, and they're very supportive. None of them do drugs. They smoke a little weed and drink occasionally. But
man, when I just met your dad outside,
yeah,
I'm like, wait a second, that's if you told me,
my dad's the coolest guy, man.
Dude, he's like my age.
Yeah, exactly.
He's 50. He just turned 50.
Holy shit!
He looks like he's 35.
Yeah. My mom looks young too. That's why I look 16.
Damn, wow. I mean, that's really, really insane, yeah. that your dad's older than I am, because he...
Yeah, I was looking at your dad, and I was like, dude, no, his dad's my age.
I tell my dad this every year. I'm like, bro, you're getting younger. You have, like, the Benjamin Button, like, syndrome.
Yeah, yeah. So you have good genes.
Yeah, and my dad also is a big reason I became a musician, because when we were younger, he had an extensional vinyl collection. Mm. We'd listen to everything from Sid Vicious to Beethoven to Blur to Gorillaz, you know, so he got me... to appreciate music to how I did. I wanted to be a photographer and document the underground LA scene, but just from that background of loving music so much and it being so important to me, I think it helped me become an artist, you know, and because I appreciate cinematography and music the most.
What was a day in the life like of you, like a week before you blew up to like celebrity?
A week before,
like, what were you doing on a day-to-day basis?
I was
basis?
Sleeping at my manager's studio. It was like a warehouse. It was nice. It was a nice studio, like nice. I was sleeping on the couch.
But you're broke.
But I was essentially broke. I mean,
just no money. Sleeping
maybe $100 in my pocket, not even a bank account. Driving a Nissan Versa. You know what I mean?
Dude, those are great cars, man. I had one of those.
Steve had one of those after he made all of his money.
Yeah. I might get another
one. That was the first car Steve bought after he made money.
I might soup up a Nissan Versa nowadays. Sure. But, yeah, and then we link with the good Cole Bennett of Lyrical Lemonade. He's a good friend of mine. We have 6 videos, and but he did my first one, Betrayed.
And that was the one that was a and that banger. Was that,
yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And that was the one and that blew me up. So after that broke week, that song came out on Lyrical Lemonade. And then the next day, it has 10 million views. And I've never had 10 million anything. So I'm like looking at this like, who's fucking with me? Who, like, you know what I mean? I'm like, because I was making music like as a hobby almost at this point. But it was real.
And you had the full face tats at that time?
I had like 5. I've gone overboard at this point, but I had 5 back then. It's a little much.
But, it's hard to find the
yeah,
line.
Yeah, and then after that, watching my Instagram go up like to 70,000 followers in 2 hours, and then it was at 100,000 the next day.
Damn.
And then 3 days later, 300,000, and then... 2 months later, 1.2 million, and I'm at Columbia signing a deal. It was so
wow,
fast,
heavy.
And then go ahead, Steve.
Where are you at in the Columbia deal now?
I'm independent. Me and Columbia separated ways. We
Did you finish out the contract by delivering however many albums it was?
No, I didn't finish out the contract. I didn't like the creative control. They didn't give me much creative control. They wanted to kind of turn me into something else that I didn't want to be. So we agreed to part ways. But unfortunately, in order to do that, I had to give them all my masters. So I don't make money off my music.
But when now all your masters, that would be the master album.
Like that would just be Betrayed, Colorblind, and Slingshot.
Because Betrayed was the first track on your first album.
Yes, yes. So the basically the 3 biggest songs were, well, I did a song when I was dating Noah Cyrus called Live or Die. They own 4 of my biggest songs, masters. Everything else I own.
Okay.
But it still sucks, you know, that, you know, you don't own, like, Betrayed or Colorblind.
But then again, I mean, historically, like, the music industry has been this catch-22 of you can't blow up unless you have a record deal, but you can't make money unless you own your own shit.
Yeah.
So you served the purpose of blowing up. Now, theoretically, you can put out your own music, own it, and actually make the money on it.
Yeah, and that's what me and my new, I just got a new team, and that's what we're doing now. We're getting, I got a publicist now. I have things now that I should have had years and years ago. You know what I mean?
Well, you're only 25, so.
No, but I mean, like, when I was right. with my old team, you know what I mean?
Understood.
Yeah.
Now, like, there was a lot of criticism about that first album.
Yeah. And I can tell you why.
If you want to improve your future, you gotta have an understanding of your past. Is that fair to say? That's why my Whoop band is helping me so immensely. This is the most sophisticated fitness tracking device known to man. And they just came out with the Whoop Band 4.0, which comes with the waterproof wireless charger. And as always, they've got a great deal for the listeners of the Wild Ride podcast. Now, keep in mind that with your Whoop membership, you've got a strain coach, which is going to take all of the data that the band pulls from you, and it's going to tell you what you need to do, what you're focusing on, how you can be healthier. It's going to give you all of the insights into your sleep, your recovery, the calories you're burning, the activities you're doing. It's going to get you organized to become a healthier person. And if you go to whoop.com, that's whoop.com, and use the promo code Stevo, you're going to get 15% off your membership at checkout. Plus, you get this killer band with the waterproof wireless charger totally for free. I'm telling you, you want to join the movement, you want to support the Wild Ride podcast, and you want to be a healthier, happier person. So go to whoop.com, use the promo code Stevo, and get on board. All right? All right. Now, let's see what happened with that album.
It was very rushed. My manager is Stat Quo, which, fun fact about Stat Quo, he was the first artist signed to Shady Aftermath with Dr. Dre and Eminem.
Uh-huh.
So he was actually popping out in like the early 2000s as mm-hmm. a rapper, but that didn't work out for him. So he went behind the scenes and wanted to manage artists, and I was his first artist to blow up. I just lost track.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. Like, I felt like you were saying, you know, why the album was criticized.
Oh, yo, it was rushed.
What if we just said you weren't sober, you didn't put in the work?
I wasn't sober. I didn't put in the work enough. I mean, the Colorblind on it was good. Moonlight on it was good. Basically, all the records that were already doing good that were on the album, they were good songs on the album.
Right.
And a couple others. But it was rushed, and I was on drugs. And I feel like my team, I'm not blaming my team for this at all. It's, you know, but I feel like they should have, you know, because they're powerful people in the industry. I feel like they should have listened to this and been like, we should not put this out.
Okay. That's fair. Sadly, they did put it out. You did put it out, and it's your name on it.
Yeah.
But you're fucking blown up because of it.
Well, you had blown up already,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he had blown up off
like,
a single.
When you signed the deal, what was your motivation to do that? Because was it just a big signing bonus or something?
Signing with Columbia.
Because you had already
my previous manager, Stat Quo, was friends with Jimmy Iovine's mm-hmm. Nephew,
okay.
And they're like Columbia family, so they wanted me to just be go with them, you know, kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I bring up the criticism of that first album because, like, I think that it's healthy to just acknowledge, like, whatever the issue was so that you can address it moving forward. Because, like you
yes.
said, you've got a bunch of music and it's good music.
Yeah, because that album was dropped in 2018 and you know, it's been years and years
right.
since I've dropped. Because I refuse to drop something that's going to turn out like that again. You know what I mean?
Right. That's what I want to hear, dude. I want your next album to be like fucking banger.
It's like, bro, it's like a mixture of rap and indie. It's kind of like indie and rap. It's got a lot more instruments.
And presumably you recorded it before you just went into rehab.
I've been recording for the last 7 months for this album, okay. in between rehabs and stuff. But it's sounding really good. There's some a lot more instruments, a lot more like violins and pop punk stuff, and I got the typical bangers, but more topics, more lyricism, but also retaining the Lil Xan style,
Mm-hmm. Are you putting it out on your own?
I believe I'm gonna put it out on my own, yes.
So nice. You don't make any money up front when you put it on your own, right? There's no royalties.
Right, there's no advance.
There's no advance. There are royalties.
But the most important, like I said, I'm living comfortably. But the most important thing for me for this next thing is just to show people how much I've evolved and that I'm ready to play ball, and to be taken serious, because this next album, in my opinion, is... I'm so proud of it. Good. I'm very proud of it,
That's
good. I could make nothing off it. I just want them to know, let's go. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
You got any features on it?
It's just going to be just strictly me. I just wanted to...
It's not too late to add features, though, right? Because
I think my friend PNB Rock, who's a big rapper, might hop on a couple things and some low-key artists. But for the most part, since it's self-titled my name, I kind of just want it to be, just mostly me.
I started rapping again. Is that what you're gonna say?
I was getting there.
Yo, you should get Steve on the track, man.
I mean,
would you be on the album? Come on.
I mean, I might drop some bars.
Good. Yeah.
Dude,
we're trying to get him into the studio.
I need Steve to do the intro.
Dude, I would love that.
That'd be sick.
Dude, I would love that. And I gotta say too, man, that for all the stuff that I've seen. It's really refreshing how candid you are.
Thank you.
And I think you're in a good spot, dude.
Thank you.
I think
yeah,
you're in a good place.
I appreciate that, because the thing with the internet and the pandemic definitely fast forwarded the internet so much, because people had nothing to do. It evolved it way quicker,
Mm-hmm.
There's such a false narrative of me on the internet that I'm a bar. Tard, retard, illiterate, a dick, asshole, mean person. But I always tell people, and I know it's not possible to meet everybody in the world and have 5 minutes to talk to them, but if you would just sit down and talk to me for 5 minutes, you would probably like me, because I'm genuinely a nice guy. I'm polite, I don't want to start any issues. I just want to help people. And if you still hate me, then that's your decision. I can't change that. Mm-hmm. But, just don't believe everything you see on the internet, because it's not... A lot of it's not real.
I agree with that. And I don't know that I've seen anything suggesting that you're not a nice guy. I haven't heard anything saying you're an asshole.
Well, there was the Tupac incident.
Something that you said Tupac
was
boring?
Yeah, but that was back when I was barred out, and they would wake me up at 5 a.m. and I was... cranky to go to the iHeart radios, and I rated and I don't feel this way anymore. Tupac is a legend, but I wanted to get the interview over with. The interviewer was annoying, and she just kept speeding, and she's like, "What do you feel about Tupac?" And I was like, 2 out of 10, and that was such a big catalyst of hate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but at the same time, you don't have to like Tupac.
I was barred out. I was cranky,
But you just got your dick sucked by 6 chicks.
6 chicks. Fucking 10 chicks.
Yeah, you're just thinking about these chicks.
Who knows where I got my dick sucked by? Tupac is definitely a legend, and I would like to stop receiving death threats for that.
Do you have a... I don't know why I asked this question, but it's so fascinating. Do you have a top 5 best rappers of all time, in your opinion?
Well, okay, yeah. In order from
5 to 1.
5 to 1. 1 being the best?
Yeah.
Okay, 5, I would have to say XXXTentacion. He was a good friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
4, Lil Peep. I didn't know him, but his music was amazing. 3, Juice WRLD. Rest in peace to him, too. We all came kind of up from the SoundCloud era.
Wow, dude, all 3 guys he's named have passed.
It's sad, right?
Mm-hmm.
3, so we're on 2.
2.
We're on to 2.
2, I would say King Von, rest in peace again. And 1, who actually was a good friend of mine, Mac Miller.
Mm. Fuck. All passed.
And it's
so all 5.
What did they all die of?
Drug overdoses and gunshots.
Yeah, gunshots, and Mac was the drug overdose. Yeah. But a story about Mac was I started listening to Mac in 2009 when I was like 12 or something, you know. And I fell in love with his music, and I fell in love with how every album it was a different Mac. It was like his whole discography from the beginning to the end is, and he's just watching the evolution was amazing. Mm-hmm. So he became my favorite artist throughout the years of me dropping out of high school, bumping his music, and then my music brought us together later in life, which blew my mind because that was my idol. You know what I mean? Mm. And then he invited me to actually what would be his last show at the Hotel Cafe in downtown. And I got to see him perform. 100 people. It was like you had to win like a radio giveaway to go there. Wow. Very intimate. I met his family. I met Jason Sudeikis when he was with Olivia Wilde back there, John Mayer.
Wow.
And Mac was like, yo, next week, let's... or like next month, let's come over and let's jam out. And I was like, wow, I'm gonna make a song with my idol. That's crazy, you know. So I left. Said it was a good show, and then I was born September 6th. He died September 7th, and so we never got to do that.
And then after that, after Mac Miller passed,
that hurt me the most. That one hurt me the most.
Yeah, and you decided that you were gonna not make music.
Yo, if my producer is here, he'd make fun of that comment right now so much. He says, why do you retire every month? It's like, you know what I mean? I do it as a joke, you know what I mean? But at the time with the Mac thing, when I was crying on live, I probably did feel like I wanted to retire. But now I just do it as a fucking joke. Like, I'm like, oh, I retire until I come back, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right, I just think, like, whenever somebody loses a loved one, you know, it's sad. You should grieve. I urge people to grieve selfishly, you know, and then get over it and move on, and let your motivation be to honor the memory of your loved one, mm-hmm. by being happy and healthy, like your loved one would want you to be.
Yeah,
like if I were to ask you, what do you think Mac Miller would want for you? Well, he'd be like, fucking dude, yeah, get out there and make music.
His last words were be safe.
Alright, and Mac would want you to make, yeah, music. If Mac heard that you were gonna not make music because he died, that's not honoring
I
him.
I think it was just because it was the day after my birthday, and it was just in the moment, right, you know. But I'm not retired at all, you know. My next album is on my birthday, September 6th. And it's called Diego. Yeah,
that's when it's dropping.
Yeah, September 6th.
September 6th.
Yeah,
super cool. So you got all the artwork done. And
yeah, the artwork is on my Instagram.
And it's all mastered. It's all...
We still have to master a few of them, and we, you know, we got time to go in and maybe change it and fuck with it. You know,
what does mastered mean?
It's like if you're in a video project, like doing the color correction, like it's like the finishing, the polishing, there's like finishing touches.
There's like
an, right,
engineer, like who will record you. The engineer will record you, make you sound as good as he can doing there. But then you send it off to someone like John Bryan, a great master, to like make it sound full in the car. Like,
so when they say you got your masters, that means you have the final. But like, does that mean you have the before project before you send it to the masters?
No, that's a different type of masters.
Yeah, masters and mastered.
Master the noun has been mastered and such locked.
Yeah.
Scott's grammar.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, but yeah, and the mastering engineer, they'll make it sure it's like all the same volume. So if you're flipping through Spotify, it's not like one song is quiet, one song is loud.
Do quality tests for cars, earphones, and make sure it sounds good in every spot.
If you ever hear a song, if you turn it up really loud, like the vocal sounds like really, like it sounds bad.
They
gotta
make sure
mastered.
That on every device it's gonna be listened to.
Right.
It's gonna sound
kind of like a photo. Like the photographer would be like, oh, let me edit the photo.
Yeah, you that's know? The final.
Like, kind of, but that's like the mixer. Because like someone will mix it too. You know, like the recording engineer will record it. Then the mixing guy will be like, okay, the trumpets need to be louder here. The guitar coming. Yeah. Then they send just like a stereo file to the mastering guy. And the mastering guy will just hear the stereo file and just give it a little more bass or a little more volume or whatever it needs.
Okay, I got a couple questions. Like, you're such an easy outgoing, laid back, nice guy.
Thank you.
But have you had any like really intense rap beefs, like feuds?
Feuds. I think back in 2018 when I was again off my shits, I feuded with this Canadian rapper named Killy. And we just, you know, went back and forth through various social media outlets. And then I had a show in his town and he actually ran up on me. But my security like defused the situation. But other than that, no.
And everything's cool with him now.
Yeah. He probably still hates me, but like I'm trying to go on this whole peace vibe thing. I have nothing against anybody. He probably still hates me. Killy, I have nothing against you. It was a different time. I was a different person. And other than that,
Killy, he was just a kid.
Yeah, but other than that, Waka Flock and T.I. were coming at me on Twitter after the Tupac stuff, and but you know, it's all love. I have nothing against anybody. I'm trying to really, trying to change for the better. You know, yeah. I have this sense. I love the word clarity. I really do love the word clarity. You know, and that's what I feel like I have right now. And that's why I feel like I'm doing so much better.
Good.
Yeah. Good.
I have a question. So the album's, when the album's finished, it's launching September 6th?
Yes.
When the night before September 5th, we're going to blast it out at midnight.
Oh, well, is it available for pre-order already?
Not yet, but in a week it will be, though.
Do you gather up all the pre-orders, or when you hit play, it goes to Spotify, Apple makes records? It, like, where does it go as soon as you hit play? Is that like the release date? How can people cop it? Like, are people still buying albums?
You usually put a link tree in your bio that will direct it. If you want to listen to it from the YouTube or Spotify or Apple Music, you make that link tree and in your bio, so you click that, and if they have Spotify, they'll click the Spotify one.
So when you launch it, you drive all the traffic to your page, and then they can go wherever they want from there.
And we promote it on my page, like, you know, so much, you know, just driving the traffic through. You know, pay a Spotify playlist to get it on New Music Friday, the hottest playlist. Get it on big, like, At Rap and XXL to post, like, Xan drops new music, you know.
Do you have a date the pre-order will go live?
I do not yet, unfortunately. You know, we're still working on that.
What's a good number for a pre-order album, like, to buy? Like, when you're like, oh, fuck. Like, is it gold, platinum? Like, what are those? 100,000. If you sold 100,000, is that good? Yeah.
Oh, it's not going to sell 100,000 units because I've been away for so long. I would be happy if it sold 30,000, to be honest, because of how much time I've taken away from social media to work on myself and stuff.
I mean, you tweeted out to come to Redlands in 20 minutes. You had 2,000 people show up.
Yeah, I did. And you might be right. I might do that again. I always doubt myself. I feel like that's the Virgo artist in me. You know, we always doubt ourselves.
But what would you be happy with?
I would be happy with 30,000.
30, you'd be like, fuck
but,
yeah.
But the internet trolls would be like, L. It's like, well, you guys don't understand. I haven't dropped anything in 4 years. I've been absent from social media. 30,000 would be amazing for me.
But you're not saying 30,000 streams.
No, units.
Yeah, like units
Oh, there's a difference?
Streams. And on top of that, like I said again, it's not even for the money for me. It's for just to show them. And evolved Xan or Diego. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, music videos, it's like, oh, that music video is sick. And you look at it on YouTube, it's got like 800 million views. It's like, people love fucking music. They love music videos.
Yeah, bro. Music, maybe this is biased because I know some people that don't actually listen to music, or they just listen to top 40, you know? But music is my life. You know, I think music is, it brings people together. I think it's the best thing in the world.
What are you jamming these days? Like, what are you playing in the car?
It depends on the vibe. You know, if I'm cruising down the street, maybe some De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest. Mm-hmm. I like Young Thug a lot. Mac Miller, of course. There's this new artist, Yeet. You know about Yeet?
Yeah, why have I heard that? He's all over TikTok.
Yeah, he's funny, man. Trippie Redd. Yeah. Trippie Redd's really good. Cage the Elephant, The Strokes, Arctic Monkeys. Yeah. I grew up on Arctic Monkeys. Belly and Sebastian. Mm-hmm. Love Belly and Sebastian.
But if you were on an island and you can only take one album, what would it be?
Oh my God, that's all.
Tupac, Always on Me.
I also like Drake a lot too, and Kanye. But if I was, what was the question?
If you were like, or if you, you know, going to rehab, or if you had to go to an island and you can only take one album with you, what album would that be?
It would probably be The Divine Feminine by Mac Miller. Hmm. Yes, definitely.
All right.
Steve, what about you?
Man, I was just thinking about that.
I think I'd do like a Grateful Dead album.
I don't know, man.
Wait. Okay. That album... But if I could take two, it would be whatever people say I am, that's what I'm not. That's Arctic Monkeys' first album when they were really punk rock. Mm-hmm. It'd be one of those two albums.
One that I've just been... My latest thing is just pulling up albums on Apple Music, which I just haven't listened to in a long time, and I've been particularly enjoying A Perfect Circle, Mare de Noms.
Hmm.
Nice.
Very cool.
I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, it's and it's more about like time traveling to just this like this period of my life where it's like, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's really what music is. Music is something that you
escape reality.
Well, it's like an album is like a blank canvas, and as you listen to it, you record onto that canvas that period of your life. So then, years later, if you hear that music again, it takes you back to that period of your life.
Nostalgic.
You fuse your moment in your life with this soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I've never heard that expression before, but I actually really do like that.
Yeah, and people ask me like what kind of music I like, you know, and you know, I've always said that I feel that music is not as much to be liked as it is to become familiar with, because as you become familiar with it, you fuse your own experience with it. And so you have that identification with it. And so it's less about how much you like the music, and it's more about how intimately attached to the music you are. So experience of music is more about just your familiarity with it.
I like that. I feel like I relate to that on the Gorillaz album, Demon Days.
Yep.
Like, and the song Demon Days. And the one that leads, I forgot what the first one, but it leads into Demon Days. Like, you just it means something different to everybody, you know. Like, you, I don't know. You described it better than me, bro. I know what you mean, but yeah.
The other thing too, I was like to say, is that music, I feel, is like food. You know, you don't always want to eat fucking donuts. You know, like sometimes you're in the mood for sweet food. Sometimes you're in the mood for chips and salsa. Yeah, like sometimes you want to fucking You want to change it. You want to change it up.
Yeah, like sometimes you want donuts. Sometimes you want Butterfinger. Yeah. Sometimes Reese's.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
But that's the problem. That's the problem too with me too. Sometimes I catch myself just keep listening to the same 10 songs over and over again.
Yeah. My highest goal in life, as it relates to music, is to commit myself to listen to one album and nothing but one album on repeat over and over and over for weeks on end, so that I've invested this portion of my life in that music, and then when I hear it years on down the road, it'll take me back.
Yeah.
I wanna like fuse where I'm at, and I just don't do enough because I keep living in the past by time traveling to previous points in my life. Yeah,
like that nostalgic feeling. I like that, man.
I'm resistant to new music, and I wish I wasn't so resistant. But every once in a while, like I ask someone, "Hey, what's a great album from start to finish?" So I can just listen to nothing but that.
Yeah.
I did that with your Strokes album.
Fuck yeah. Is this it?
What Strokes album?
The first one. Must have been. Is this it?
Oh, is this
that,
it?
I think that would be what I would take album. To the
we
island.
We did it again with the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Remember when we just listened to tell it over and over and over?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When I was like, this is like, you're going to love this album. But then you're like, play it again. And I was like, we put this like five
that,
times.
That is
like,
a really good album, though.
So good. And you did that with Maggot Brain, I think, too. The Funkadelic album.
I did that with Maggot Brain.
Jonestown Massacre?
Yep.
Johnston, yeah. Alt J, we did that a lot with traveling.
Dude, Alt J, big time. Cirque du Soleil with Bam's album.
Yeah, dude, Bam's album was
sick. Bam put out this album, The Eavesdroppers. Fucking epic.
Well, I walked in, we were on tour in Europe, and I like walked upstairs. I'm like, dude, who is this? This is sick.
I have a crazy story with Bam, actually.
Dude, let's hear it.
So I'm from Redlands, California, and one day I'm just sitting at my house, and I get a text message, because I guess Bam's photographer is a mutual friend of mine or something.
Ryan G?
Illegal, something, I don't know what it was, but he texted me, he said, yo, Bam wants to hit you up. I gave him, I was like, yeah, of course, Bam. And he hits me up and he's like, yo, because I'm from Redlands, California. He's like, I'm doing something at Redlands Skate Park for like their grand opening or something.
Oh, this was for like he made a music video or something?
No. This is something else. That was the when the dude fell through the fucking thing. Yeah, that was funny. So he was like, I'm going to hit him up because I know Zan's from Redlands, you know. So I was like, fuck yeah, I'm stoked. So he sent a chauffeur to come get me and my friends. But he had a request. He said, can you bring a gun? Because I've never shot a gun before. And I was like, Bam Margera asked me for a gun. I got to get a gun. Like, let's go get a gun. Let's make this epic, you know. Let's go to the back wash because there's, like, you know, washes back there where nobody's going to hear it and stuff. So,
hey, are you a gun guy?
Yeah. I like going to ranges and stuff. And it was a legal gun. Obviously, it was a legal gun. So
serial numbers were scratched off.
Yeah, yeah, bullet. Yeah, hollow points. No, but so we went. We ended up going, and he did like a little interview with me. It was kind of awkward. I didn't know what was really going on.
This wasn't terribly long ago, right? Like about a year.
Yeah,
this
was about a year, exactly a year ago. You know,
was sober at that time.
Or maybe, yeah.
It maybe clip made like a year and a half.
It could have been like longer. So we did the skate park thing. You know, it was they were having an event and people were kind of taking pictures of him, me. It was cool. And then Danny Way was there too. Danny Way was one that brought him. And I'm a big, you know, I grew up skateboarding. I was never good, but I still enjoyed the culture. And Danny Way jumped the Great Wall of China. Like,
for sure.
So, you know, and that's who took Bam to Redlands. So I showed up, we all met, I got to meet Danny Way, legend, got to meet Bam, you know, legend too, it was sick. And then we had the guns, like, well, let's go shoot the gun. I'm like, Jesus, I'm in my hometown with Bam Margera and Danny fucking Way, and I brought them a gun, and we're about to go shoot it off, and in the fields, like, far away from anywhere where it would be bad. But Bam was telling me he had never shot a gun before, and that's why he wanted to do it. And I was like, Bam, how in the fuck is there any way you've never shot a gun before, you crazy-ass motherfucker? You know what I mean? But I guess he hadn't, because he was shaky when he held that gun. I'll show you videos after this, too. I have it. And, yeah, we went to the little backwash and shot guns for a little while. Danny Way went crazy on it.
What kind of gun was it?
It was just a Glock 9mm.
A Glock.
And, yeah, and after that, we just parted ways, and that was my BAM experience.
Cool.
Didn't he, like, shoot the car or something?
We were shooting at, like, bottles in the back because we didn't want to shoot at rocks and ricochet and die.
Why did you post? Did he post on a story one time? He got his car stolen. That's what it was.
He was telling me about that. This was also right after his Bentley was stolen and it crashed. Yeah, so he was telling me about that stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty gnarly situation, man.
Yeah, I'm slightly familiar with it, but I'm not, you know, obviously too familiar with the whole situation.
Yeah. I see him working out on, like, Novak's Instagram.
Yeah,
right.
And he told me a lot of crazy stories about Novak, too, but, like I'm not trying to, like, talk shit on Bam, because, like, all of you guys are legends, you know. Jackass is amazing, you know, Jeff Tremaine and Spike Jones, all, you know, amazing people, but, he just didn't seem like himself. He kind of just...
Well,
didn't...
right. I mean, at that time, he wasn't himself.
Yeah,
there's nothing about...
He was still getting a lot of love from everybody.
He's a likable guy. I mean, people like him. They always will.
Yeah.
And there's nothing negative. Like,
and his kid
is
amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not talking shit to say that. That's it.
Yeah.
And everybody wants Bam to be in the best place and happy and healthy. And
yeah. I saw the movie too. It was amazing.
Well, thanks.
I thought you guys were gonna like go a little less hard since y'all were getting a little bit older, you know. But when I saw Johnny Knoxville get fucked by that bull, I was like, oh, these guys are crazy.
Yeah. It was
is there like, are you guys planning on like a Jackass Next Generation kind of thing?
I mean, I guess that's kind of what this last movie was. Because
I know Zackass and yeah, I know Chad Tepper. Cool. Yeah.
They, I mean, yeah, they brought in Zach, they brought in Poopy, they brought in a bunch of new guys to kind of freshen it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what like the
celebrities,
future.
MGK, I saw that yeah, too.
I don't know what the
but
future
I always
holds.
But I always felt like there should be like a Jackass Next Generation, because like Jackass can't just end. It never will end. Like,
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, unless that's what you guys have decided on, but.
I'll tell you this, when I found out that after 10 years, Knoxville wanted to make another movie, like I thought, oof, man, like after every that, now we're so old, that's a potential problem, and like after everything that we've survived, like we've come this far, and like now, like it just takes one fucking thing to go wrong and then the whole legacy of it legacy all just goes in the trash. Yeah. So when you say like the Jackass the Next Generation,
you got younger kids.
I just worry about like taking risks on that, and it's ironic that I should be saying that, you know. But
no, but it's respectable because I do see where you're yeah, coming from,
you know. And I mean the particularly ironic thing is that I'll be taking plenty more risks, just you know, doing my own thing. But
you're putting out your own album.
Yeah, you know? Putting out my own album, and you know, like it's such a weird thing with Jackass when you know. Like putting other people in harm's way is a yeah, tough, it's a tough one.
I mean, some of the stuff you have coming up is some of the gnarliest I've ever heard in my entire life. So that'll be interesting.
I'm yeah, excited to see that.
Yeah,
when
dude.
When you swallowed that goldfish.
That was a long, long time ago, man.
It was yeah, day one.
So, okay, so how can we help you with, you know, sending what traffic that we can send for you? We want to get your Instagram. Follow Lil Xan on Instagram yeah, like I do.
Definitely. Follow me at Xanxiety. It's basically just...
anxiety with an X in front of it.
Anxiety with an X in front of it. Xanxiety. Follow me there. I don't really use anything else besides that. So that's, yeah, that's uh-huh, really the only place.
And presumably... this will come out about the same time as pre-order, so look up Lil Xan's new album. It's called Diego.
Diego, self-titled Diego, and this is the last project dropping under the name Lil Xan. Then everything changes to Diego. I'll let all my social media platforms know when the pre-orders go on and everything.
Because like projects really... gain momentum on healthy pre-orders. So,
yeah, no, it is. Pre-orders really help a lot.
Really important.
To, like, shoot it to the top, man.
Right, yeah. because when it goes on sale, like, that first week, it gets all the pre-orders are credited to that first week.
Exactly.
So yeah, that determines. It's the same with books. That's why I want everybody to pre-order.
And everybody
my new
is
book,
just so pressed about how many albums, like, how many units you sell. It's like, bro, it's. Chill out, bro. Like,
yeah. Like, where are you at with the sobriety? Like, you're
sobriety?
Just you're okay,
today,
you're okay with with the weed. You're gonna keep doing the weed thing.
Occasionally, like, I might smoke a joint today, but I probably won't smoke another one for like 3 days. You know, just you know, celebrate and stuff.
Yeah, but Scott and I are sober guys, both of us, mm-hmm, and I think I can speak for both of us when I say. If that works for you,
yeah,
our hats are off to you.
Yeah, because let me tell you, I do believe weed is a gateway drug. I 100% believe weed is a gateway drug. But, yeah, like, whatever works for certain people. When I was at the Heavenly Center, I applaud them for trying something different. But it wasn't for me. I didn't smoke weed during the process. And they were okay with that. They don't shove it down your throats, you know what I mean? And they really right, did help me. So shout out Steve LaBelle. Shout out Nick. Shout out Matt.
Scott Storch,
amazing producer. They really, yeah. And today, I just posted on Instagram earlier, is my 40th day sober.
All right.
That's super cool. Yeah, and I know how hard that is. So, and you've made it past the hard part. So,
yeah,
really
yeah,
keep it up.
There
I
was, mean, yeah, the, yeah, man. The first like 3 weeks are like really hard, man. Mm.
Yeah, and if the weed, the marijuana maintenance, as we call it, if that works for you, then that's great. If it doesn't work for you, then I would just recognize that sooner than later.
So it doesn't leave.
You don't want to just go around the same loop of like, fuck, I got loaded again. Fuck, I've already got loaded again.
This is my seventh time in rehab, and I'm trying to make it my last. I feel really good about it this time. And yeah, and I want to thank you guys for having me on.
You're an amazing guest and an amazing person.
Thank you. Yeah, guys. I really appreciate that.
Right away when we spoke, I got the.
I know we accidentally. I was freaking out with my wallet. He's walking in the Vons. I'm like, okay.
To go act out with donuts, dude.
For sure.
By the way, it looks like your wallet showed up.
At some point.
Really?
Wow, I think
so. Yes! Little Zach guy's wallet.
Yo, when we were in Vons, I was like, yo, look up what Steve-O's favorite snacks are. It's like Butterfingers and Reese's. All right, let's give him some flour.
Damn, that's empty. Can you grab that right there just so that anybody who is. Actually, on the YouTube version.
Guys, I swear to God, I'm a nice person.
He's a very nice.
No more
gentleman.
Death threats.
What a young gentleman.
Man. Zan got me Butterfinger and Reese's and a bunch of flowers.
Yes.
And
can you even believe that? Oh, dude. Stick that on me, dude.
Yeah.
stick that on
all
me.
This. Yeah, that's all right. All right,
dude. Here we go, man.
Maybe this is for the thumbnail.
You want to hold this?
I'll hold this.
Can you take a photo of us, Scott?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Beautiful
photo.
Moment. Wendy, you stay right there. Hey, you're doing great.
Good girl.
Want Wild Ride in the back?
Yeah.
All right. So for people just listening, we're getting a little photo shoot here. Steve's got the little Zan beanie on. We got the flowers in the middle. We got Wendy.
Can you
go to YouTube for that shot.
Insane stuff. But yeah, man, dude, I'm rooting for you, bro.
Yo, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you guys, man.
I'm rooting for you. I want this next album to bring you back to the full splendor of your
it's gonna be splendid.
Your peak in 2018.
Yeah.
And I really want you to stay sober.
Yo, I promise. Yo, I got this,
man. You can't promise, dude. That's the definition of addiction is that.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Well, I will remain sober.
Okay.
Today.
He's like, where do I put this shit at?
It's all good.
You want to airdrop it or you want to text it to you?
Thank you, Lozanne. Now tell me, how can you not be rooting for that kid after listening to that podcast? I mean, what a likable dude. I'm rooting for him, man. Like I said, I hope that this next album he puts out is an absolute banger. I hope it smashes. And you know what? I've said it before and I'll say it again. I appreciate the fuck out of you guys who stick around to the end of the podcast. I've said this before as well, that more and more when I'm on tour, meeting people at my shows, people are telling me, yo, dude, I'm Street Team. And I love that. So let's go full Street Team on this one and give Lil Zan some love. He's like... Since we recorded this, he's posted about it on his Instagram like 5 times or something, and it's not even out yet. So he's stoked that he's on the Wild Ride podcast. Now, I'd love it if you let him that you're stoked too. Let him know. Grab a screenshot, post it up, tag Lil Zan, give him some love, and let's all root for this kid to really have a redemption. Thank you, and lots of love.